When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Dallas Mavs blew a 27-point lead en route to a 111-108 loss to the Lakers. NBA teams were 138-0 after leading by that much this season before that meltdown. Don't look now, but the purple and gold are on fire. The Lakers improved to 4-1 in their last five games, an inch closer to the sixth seed, closing the gap from 4.5 games back to now just 2.5 since their hot streak began on February 11th. Hi, Chuck. Stephen A., take it away.
I got it from here. Welcome to the show, the one and only Sir Charles himself, Charles Barkley. What's up, big time? How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great. Thank you guys for entertaining me this morning. Molly, you're the best. Stephen A., you're just Stephen A.
I got you.
Hey, and Monica is great. Monica is great, too.
Monica is great too. The women gang up on me, and then obviously you being the guy that you are, you're gonna jump in on the bandwagon on them. But that's all right for another day. Let's get to the basketball stuff, Chuck. Did you see the Lakers? Did you see the Lakers yesterday overcome a 27-point deficit? I got them capturing the sixth seed in the West. I think they're gonna leapfrog over a bunch of teams. They're gonna avoid the play-in, and they're gonna make some noise, at least win a first round series. That's my take on the Los Angeles Lakers, Charles Barkley. What say you?
Well, a couple things. I watched that entire game yesterday. I thought the Mavericks blew the game the first half. You know, everybody said they had a 26-point lead, 27-point lead. They were only up like 14 at the halftime. So
that's true.
If you're only down 14 at the half, if you're the Lakers, you're like, man, we were down 27. We're only down 14. We got a better team than the Mavs. We should win this game. You said it at the halftime. You know, I think that the Lakers are going to make this a game, but they came back and won. But I think the most important thing we've been saying all year, Stephen A., is going to come down to Anthony Davis. If Anthony Davis plays like that, the Lakers are going to have a chance in the first round of the playoffs or the play-ins. Anthony Davis is the key. LeBron has played pretty well all year. He's played great all year. But when Anthony Davis plays like he played yesterday, they're a totally different team. But I didn't overreact yesterday because everybody keeps saying they were down by 27 points. Yeah, but that didn't matter because they were only down 14, 15 at the half, and that's not even a big deal.
What are your feelings about the Dallas Mavericks? I mean, we saw, again, they were up 27. Then it was only 14 by the half. Then they blew the lead all together, lost the game. We see Kyrie and Luka trying to figure it out offensively. Defensively, I think Dallas is a bit challenged. Jason Kidd basically said it's about the turtle or the rabbit or whatever. And the fact of the matter is the Lakers, you know, they're experienced and they played the long game. And obviously that's something that we've got to learn to do. We've got to grow up. What were your thoughts about what Jason Kidd had to say about his Dallas Mavericks?
Well, I don't think that experiment is going to work. They're going to win some games because they're going to have some great offensive nights. They're not going to be any good defensively, but they're going to have some nights where they're making threes and Kyrie and Luka going to do their thing. But as far as being a serious contender, the Mavs are not a serious contender. Because they're just good offensively. But like I say, they're going to win some games because they're going to be really streaky on the offensive end. But are they a contender? No, they're not a contender at all.
You know, I'm looking at – I got to transition to – before I transition to the East, rather, I want to stay with the West in this regard. We've got teams ahead of the Lakers. New Orleans, I think they're going to catch them. You're talking about Utah. I expect them to fall as well, along with a plethora of other teams. Minnesota comes to mind as well. I'm looking at Golden State. When Steph Curry gets back, we'll see what happens. I definitely expect them to leapfrog over Portland. But I can't ignore the Warriors, not with the way Klay Thompson is playing and the fact that Steph Curry is coming back. If the Lakers were to avoid the play-in and leapfrog to the sixth seed, who do you expect to fall in the Western Conference? Maybe to the play-in game or lower?
Well, I'm not worried about, but it's only two teams I'm worried about in the Western Conference. That's the Denver Nuggets, who are the best team in the Western Conference, and the Los Angeles Clippers. Those, to me, are the two best teams, Denver and the Clippers. If you're the Lakers, you heard me.
You didn't say Phoenix? You didn't say you got a crib in Phoenix, don't you?
You know what? My bad.
All right.
You know, it's hard to judge my Suns until KD get out there. But I still think, my personal opinion, I'm going with the Nuggets and I'm going with the Clippers. To me, those are the two teams to beat. And then I think Phoenix is the third best team. That's just my opinion now. Denver, we have zero respect for the Nuggets. The job, let's honor what this guy, the Joker, is doing, Stephen A. Watching this man play, I watched that entire game last night.
Right.
I watched that entire game. Man, this Joker's doing is incredible. I mean, it's just flat out incredible. And I'm going to tell you something. The Clippers are going to be a tough out for anybody. That was one of the best games I saw last night. That was one of the best games I saw. But listen, the wild card to me, you talk about the Lakers, the wild card is my Suns. Because when KD gets healthy and Booker gets healthy, man, they're not going to be afraid of anybody.
That's right.
I know y'all want the Lakers to be good. I know America wants the Lakers
for that.
To be good.
Yes.
But listen, I don't. They're not one of the top three teams, in my opinion. They're not.
Well, we know that.
I told you the Nuggets, the Clippers, and the Suns. They're the three best teams, in my opinion.
But let me stop you. I mean, Charles Barkley, I would remind you that we just watched the Clippers give up 176 points. I mean, what the hell are you talking about? I mean, they're better than the Phoenix Suns? I mean, you're going to put the Clippers ahead of everybody but the Denver Nuggets? Really?
Yeah. The one thing concerns me about my Suns is depth. Obviously, you got a nuclear weapon in KD. You got a nuclear weapon in Devin Booker. Yes. They're going to be fantastic.
So that's two nuclear weapons, yes.
They got two nuclear weapons.
Okay.
But you got to understand something, Stephen A. To me, it's going to come down to Aiden. Aiden's going to have to be the most unselfish guy. He's got to become a defensive force and a rebounding force. Okay. They were still really getting killed on the boards yesterday without Giannis. They wasn't doing a good job. He needs to average 12, 13 rebounds a game. Because he's not going to get the shots he'd normally get. I like Aiden as a player, but he's going to have to become the guy who does all the dirty work. But I worry about my Suns' bench. Where are they going to get their scoring off the bench? I mean, at some point, KD and Booker, they can't play the whole 48. So I worry about my Suns coming off the bench. But let me tell you something. The Clippers are the deepest team in the Western Conference. The Nuggets got the best player. And you listen, quit saying when KD's healthy, he's the best player in the NBA.
He is.
Quit saying that.
Why would I not say that? You mean easy money sniper that averages 30, that shoots 93% from the free throw line, that is a sniper extraordinaire? You mean that, KD? How is it blasphemous for me to say that when he's healthy, he's the best in the world? I don't see many people who can guard him. He's unguardable.
Well, who can guard Giannis? Can guard Joker? You're not going to guard a great, great player. Hey, listen, Kevin Durant is a great, great player.
Yes.
I like Kevin. Listen, I would love to see. First of all, I would love to see my Sixers and Suns. Either one of them win, I'm going to be happy.
Exactly.
Listen, KD's a great player, but he's not better than Giannis. I'm telling you. Stephen
the A. The motor on Giannis is unparalleled. I get all of that. But what I'm saying to you is this. If I can step away from Giannis and I can force him to shoot perimeter shots sometimes, and if I can force him to go to the free throw line sometimes, regardless of the 50 points that he dropped with a perfect display from the free throw line in game six of the finals a couple of years ago against Phoenix, the fact of the matter is that he still struggles from the free throw line. He still struggles from the perimeter. And that is not a problem that Kevin Durant has. That is a fact.
What about the leadership qualities?
Well, that's true. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to challenge you on that one. I got you. I understand that there's some question marks there about KD, but he ain't got to worry about that in Phoenix. You know that. You got Monty Williams.
No,
you got
CP3.
You don't have to worry about that in Phoenix.
No. That whole dynamic has changed. You know how much I love Chris Paul. I've been saying for years he's the best leader we got in the NBA. But because of his advanced age, he's not the same player. But KD, you just said he's the best player in the world. Have you ever said that before? The best player in the world is not the leader. You can't have your cake and eat it too, Stephen A.
If
you
if I got Monty Williams and CP3, I can say that. I can say that if I got Monty Williams and CP3.
Chris Paul. Hey, Chris Paul is 102 years old. He's not the same player.
I agree with
that. If you're telling me Kevin Durant's the best player in the world, he got a chance to prove it. He got a great player in Devin Booker. Okay. He got a really good player in DeAndre Ayton, and he's got Chris Paul. No more excuses.
He's got
to be the leader of the team.
Okay, let me transition because I want to go back to Jokic for the second. Is that your MVP right now? Him, Embiid, Tatum, is that your MVP right now, Jokic?
I think it's still up for grabs.
So
I think the Joker, Embiid, and Jason Tatum. Listen, I think the Nuggets are going to win the West. They're going to win the West. But the Eastern Conference, to me, is still up for grabs. Joel has been amazing. He's been amazing. But as you saw Saturday night, I watched that game Saturday night. Jason Tatum and those boys, even though Jason didn't have a great game, he was there when it counted.
That's right.
And I worry about my Sixers because they're going to have to raise their level because Jason and Jalen are going to play at a high level. So is Giannis. The Sixers are going to have to raise their level if they're going to compete with that team because, man, the East is so top heavy with Milwaukee and Boston.
Okay.
Can my Sixers get in the conversation?
No.
That's the question we got to answer.
I'll answer it for you. No, they ain't beat Milwaukee or Boston, especially Boston because Boston got their number. But let me get back to Jokic for a quick second. He wins the MVP again this year, Charles. That's three back-to-back-to-back league MVP honors. He better make the finals if that happens. What you gonna say about him if he misses the finals after winning a third consecutive MVP?
Well, you know, the same reason you guys tell me I haven't won a championship. It ain't right. It ain't wrong. That's just how it is. You know, the Joker is never gonna get the credit he deserves until he at least makes it to the finals. He can't keep losing early in the playoffs. Was it last year, the year before? They got swept.
Yes, year before.
You they can't. Got swept. Let me tell you something. You can't win MVP and get swept. That's just right. No. You got to win one game. So, listen, if I get a fair criticism, I didn't win the championship. If he's got to at least, he don't have to win the championship, to be honest with you, in my opinion, because it's a team game. But he's got to at least get to the finals. Before, especially if he wins three in a row.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Real quick question before I get to the Eastern Conference. Damian Lillard dropped 71 last night. The brother's big time. Outside of Steph Curry, I can't think of a point guard that I'd want in the league more so than Damian Lillard. He's just that special. The flip side to it is that it was against the Houston Rockets. And that's a different story for another day. I'm in a good mood. I don't want to bring them up. But damn, it's bad. Your thoughts real quick about Damian Lillard.
It's been an honor and a privilege to watch him play. He's a great player. But the most important thing, I'm glad that he does not give in to the peer pressure. You know, all these guys, it started with LeBron giving in to peer pressure, leaving Cleveland, going to Miami. Same thing with KD going to Golden State. It's all right to be a great player and have loyalty toward your city and want to stay in the same place. A lot of guys give in to peer pressure and they move. Like, I got to win the championship. Hey, man, Dame Lillard is going to be an all-time great. I hope he never gives in to the peer pressure. It's all right to do your best. It's all, you know, I always laugh. I'm like, yo, man, I want to win the championship. I'm pretty sure Chris Paul want to win the championship. But to bounce around the team to try to get the media off your back or some fans off your back, I'm just glad Dame is never going to give in to the peer pressure. He's a great, great player and a great, great dude.
Well, let me ask you this question, Charles, respectfully. You know, you bring that up a lot, and too many people, I don't know how many people ask you this question, but I'm going to ask it. You did depart from Philly. You went to Phoenix. That's when y'all went to the finals. You had Dan Marley, Kevin Johnson, and Nose Brew, and then after that, you went to Houston. So what's the issue with a player wanting to move to be in a better situation rather than stay with the team that drafted them, per se?
Well, in both situations, I got traded. I didn't force my way out of either place, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I was very frustrated in Philly because I had to hear trade rumors for 3 years. They gave me a chance. At one point, I was like, hey, I'll just be glad when it's over. And they traded me to the Suns, and I had three opportunities to win a championship. I was cool with that. I never wanted to leave Phoenix. I thought the Suns did me dirty in that situation. Mm-hmm. That was unfortunate. But I never wanted to leave Phoenix. But I would never join a super team, ever, because I know it won't mean as much. Even if I had won a championship in Houston, it wouldn't have been the same feeling. Like, the one that Dirk Nowitzki got is worth two or three, in my opinion, because he never left Dallas. He said, hey, man, I'm going to do my best I can. Hopefully they'll get me some help. But I'm glad I would never surrender myself to try to play for a super team, because to me it's like cheating. I said that before. I'm not just saying that now.
Right.
I think it's like cheating. But, hey, listen, these guys give in to peer pressure a lot more than guys in my generation.
I got you. You got that right. You know I know. Let me ask you this, though. You've been critical to some degree of Kevin Durant when you talk about, hey, he got to win. Because obviously you joined a super team in Golden State. Things didn't work out in Cleveland. Could you explain for people who may not know what your position is, what's the difference between what Kevin Durant did and what LeBron did when he went to Miami in your eyes?
Well, first of all, there's no difference. But this is the problem. Kevin gets mad at me when I point this out. If you go back and look at LeBron, who I really admire and respect, he said this. I did not say this. He says, I had to win a championship without Dwayne to get old heads respect. Kobe Bryant said this too. He says, I have to win a championship without Shaq to get these old heads off my back. I hold Kevin Durant to the same criteria. I don't care what the media says. I don't care what the fan says. I'm talking about old guys like myself who went through the trenches. Kevin Durant going to have to, before, hey, he's an all-time great. But when it comes to being mentioned with some of these other guys, he going to have to win a championship where he's the leader of the team and he's the best player.
Or
he can't
what?
Join a 70-something win team and then win a couple championships. But everywhere else he's been, he hasn't been successful. So that's the standard I hold him to. If he want to be on a level with LeBron and Kobe and those guys, he going to have to be the best player as the leader. Because the stress that goes with being the leader of a team is really, it's a big deal, Stephen A. We're not role players. They don't have to play good. They don't get no blame. But when you're a great player, they say, people don't say, listen, I love Sed Ceballos, one of my favorite people. Nobody right. ever said Sed Ceballos didn't win the championship. Nobody ever said Mark West didn't win the championship. They said Charles Barkley didn't win the championship. That's a double standard, but that's the way the game breaks, man. I have to live with that.
You know, I love how you talk about the media. I forgot. I don't know if you know this or not, but you've been around for 17 years doing this. You the media, too. Just wanted to throw that out there. You ain't innocent in all of this. You're a part of it. You're a part of it, too, with these narratives.
Yeah, but I'm never unfair to players. I've never said to a player.
That's true.
Yo, man, you ain't an all-time. Chris Paul's an all-time great, whether he wins the championship or not. Russell Westbrook is an all-time great, whether he wins the championship
Agreed.
Or not. I tell you what's really funny about that. I'm so glad you asked me that question. Only people who've actually never played would ever say that to a great player, that he didn't win the championship. Other players know how hard it is to be great or just get to the NBA. The only person would say something dumb and stupid about a player not winning the championship is a guy who's in the media who's actually never played sports or a fan who's actually never played sports. I guarantee you another great player would never insult, because it's an insult to tell a guy he didn't win the championship.
Let me interrupt, because I challenge you on this. I get your point, and you're right for the most part. What I would say to you is this. I think what's changed is when a player goes to the negotiating table and you looking for $200, $300 million deals, you saying, I'm that dude. I'm that dude that can take you there. This is why I deserve this money. And so as a result of that, people going to look at that and say, okay, if this is the investment that we need to make in you in order to get you to wear this uniform, there's a stipulation that comes with that, which I think is fair in that regard. Well, when you go into the negotiating table and you say you're the man.
Well, first of all, that's not even fair because we're paying bombs today, Stephen A., and you know
it.
Hey, listen, you got me there. And I don't want to offend anybody, but we're paying janitors, we're paying plumbers, we're just giving $200 or $300 million out like candy, man.
I mean, you know, and listen,
I'm not mad. You get what you deserve, whatever they pay you. I just hope you appreciate. That, you know what? I'm the luckiest dude in the world. I was born at the right time. But, man, it has nothing to do with the money anymore. We're paying everybody in the NBA.
That's it. Then the Milwaukee, Boston, Philly in the Eastern Conference. Is it really just about those three teams in your mind? And if so, who is it? And if not, who else is included in the mix or should be included in the mix in the Eastern Conference?
Well, I think it's definitely those three teams. I think, man, I can't go against Giannis. If yesterday we saw the greatness of Jrue Holiday, like, you know how guys understand, like, I got no Giannis. I need to score more. He's probably the best two-way guard in the NBA, Jrue Holiday is. But he understood, like, he don't have to go out and get 30 a night. if Giannis and Chris Middleton are there. But yesterday, he's like, oh, there's no Giannis. He reminded people what a great offensive player he is. To me, Milwaukee is the team to beat. I love the signing of Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder, too good a player to be sitting at home like he's been sitting here all season. He had two humongous threes yesterday that were huge. I still think Milwaukee is the team to beat. But you got, hey, the Celtics. The question to me with the Celtics is going to be the coaches. Hey, yeah. Joe Mazzulla, he's done a fantastic job. But this is the regular season.
Not the playoffs.
He don't have to make a lot of big decisions during the regular season. But there's going to come a point in a seven-game series where he's going to make a bunch of adjustments. And it's all going to fall on his shoulders. Hey, listen, it was really unfortunate what happened with Coach Udoka. I hope he gets another opportunity. Because he did a hell of a job. I hope he gets another opportunity. But Coach Mazzulla, man, it's going to be some heat on him in the playoffs, man. Mm. Because regular season coaching ain't the same as postseason coaching.
He's got to measure up to Udoka.
You make in the,
He's got to measure up to Udoka, period.
Yeah, 100%. But that's the bad thing about it, Stephen A. They're probably gonna have the best record in the NBA, and it don't matter until the playoffs when he got to make big decisions.
Real quick response to this question because I got one to follow up. How should we be feeling about Trae Young in Atlanta? We got two coaches fired. It's not totally his fault. It's the team collectively, but he's the face of the franchise, the star of the team. Nate McMillan's gone. Quinn Snyder's in as the new coach. You know, obviously, Lloyd Pierce was there before Nate McMillan. He got fired, too. That's on Atlanta's watch, just 2 years removed from an Eastern Conference Finals appearance. Real quick on Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks.
The clock is on Trae Young now. He's gotten two coaches fired. You knew this was going to come when they had the disagreement like 2 months ago. So you knew Nate's a hell of a coach. It's really unfortunate. But the shot clock is on Trae Young now. Like, yo, man. At some point, like, okay, we gave you, we gave you 200 some million. We can't just keep firing coaches. You're going to have to step up at some point. So the shot clock is definitely on Trae Young going forward.
Be remiss in neglecting to ask you about load management. It's an issue that Adam Silver has discussed. Isn't that concerned about it? Obviously, the public at large is concerned about it. You talk about the stars and the responsibility that are placed on their shoulders, et cetera. Is load management in today's NBA a big issue for Sir Charles Barkley?
It's a huge issue. You know, Adam, and I love Adam. He's a great guy. He's a great commissioner.
So do I.
But I think what happened is I think he kind of went overboard trying to take care of the players. He's like, well, you guys don't want to do back-to-backs. We're going to kill most of the back-to-backs. Now they get like a whole week for All-Star game. So he's trying to do everything possible to get these guys rest. You know, Stephen A., I don't think fans get mad if you're making $30, $40, $50 million if you play basketball every night. But you can't make $30, $40, $50 million and then sit out games. I think it's disrespectful to the game. I think it's disrespectful to the fans. Because like I say, these fans are paying their hard-earned money. And like I say, especially, you know what's going to be crazy? In this next TV negotiating deal, we're going to have guys making $70, $80 million a year.
Yeah.
And they're going to be saying, wait a minute. You're going to make $70 million and you can't play basketball 3 or 4 days a week with all the stuff. I mean, they fly private. They got the best medical stuff ever created. And I says, you can't disrespect the fans making $70, $80 million and say, you know what, I can't play basketball 4 days a week. I mean, listen, it ain't like we should work in a steel mill, brother. I mean, if people work in a steel mill every day, I'm pretty sure they're tired too.
Yeah.
But they go to work every day. So, yeah, I think load management is a big deal. I think Adam is going to have to say, yo, man, I don't know. And listen, and I don't know the right or wrong answer, Stephen A.
Yeah.
Because I heard Steve Kerr say go down in games. pretty nice of him to take money out of all these players' pockets. Hey, listen, when some of these lesser players who don't make all that money says, yeah, take 12 of my game checks. And I'm like, no, I want them 82 games back quickly.
Average salary in the NBA is a little under $10 million per year. Just throwing that out there.
Hey, man, let me tell you something. Every time I hear that, I want to go to the graveyard and wake my mom up and say, Mom, you had me too soon. I want some of that money, man.
I got you. Listen, man, listen real quick. You recently said that Magic Johnson and Larry Bird are the most important figures in NBA history. How come you didn't mention Michael Jordan?
Well, because because you got to remember something. And Michael comes later and took it to a whole nother level.
Yes.
But you got to remember something, Stephen. And when I got to the NBA, you talk about the average salary now is $10 million. When I came to the NBA, the average salary was $200,000. Magic Johnson and Larry Bird are the two most important people in NBA history. Those guys, every time I see those guys, I tell them thank you. Michael is like the Tiger Woods effect to Jack, Arnold, and Gary Player. Because you remember something, it was two black, two thuggish, bunch of druggies. Nobody, it was tape delayed.
Yep.
There was only one game a week.
Yep.
On Sunday afternoon. That all changed with Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. Every NBA player should say, every you see Magic and Bird, you say thank you. They made it a mainstream sport. And if it wasn't for those two guys, then obviously Michael is the third component. He made it a worldwide thing because of his talent and charisma. But we have to give Magic and Larry credit because, number one, they were both great players. But what they did for the game, making it mainstream, can never be underestimated.
You got Denver going to the finals. I think I heard you correctly, right? You got Denver going to the finals, right? Is that right?
Yes, I do.
I want to make sure you're on the record for that. I want to make sure. But this is before you start March Madness. This is before you start March Madness for CBS. I just want to make sure you got Denver going to the finals.
Wait,
instead
of
Phoenix.
You got the Lakers?
Hell no. I got Phoenix.
I got Phoenix.
Phoenix, damn it. Phoenix. I got that. Let me ask you a question. Who you got coming out of the East? I got Boston. Who you got?
I got the Milwaukee Bucks.
You got us doing Denver and Milwaukee.
See. That's why I hate you sometimes.
You're the problem.
Hey, stop bad mouthing these small market teams, man.
No, I'm not. I'm not bad mouthing anybody.
Hey, Stephen A. It can't always be. Hey, the look on your face. You're like a little kid in a candy store. When you have to go to Miami or L.A., the look on your face, it's like, oh, my God. This dude between Miami and L.A., you want Miami and L.A. in the finals every year, don't you?
No, just one. You know, the one year they went in the bubble. Now, see, if they had given it to me, Chuck, when they wasn't in the bubble, I would have been fine. My dream, that would have been my bucket list. I'd have been fine. And now, to me, there's no shot that Miami's getting there. I don't like what I'm seeing for them. Even Jimmy Butler talking about they can't win games. I don't know what the hell is going on. So I got to rule that out. And, of course, I don't think the Lakers are going to the finals. The Clippers going there wouldn't bother me. But I'm not sold. I'm not sold on them.
What's interesting about the West, you don't fear Sacramento. I don't think people fear Memphis. That's why I think it's going to be very interesting the next couple months because I don't even if you have to play Memphis or the Sacramento Kings, I don't think they put fear in anybody's heart. So that play-in stuff and 6, 7, and 8, man, it's going to be fascinating the next 2 months because right now, you know, everybody's talking about the Lakers going to get to 6. They would be, and I think Sacramento is number 3 right now. I think every single person in television going to pick the Lakers over Sacramento. Yeah. I truly believe that.
Yeah.
But they still got to get up. They got to get through the play-in stuff. I mean, it's going to be very interesting in the West the next 2 months.
You know what? You did a good job, man. You did a good job. You hung with me for a half hour. I mean, you did a good job. You did so good, I'm going to let my sister Carmen cook for you when you get to town for the NCAA tournament. I'm going to let her do that. You did good?
Well, you know what I want to do? When I'm in town, I'm going to be in New York for 2 weeks for March Madness. I would love to come and see the unbelievably talented Molly.
Yeah.
And then I'll stick with you. And I'll hang with you and your sister, too.
Man, goodbye. Goodbye. I'll talk to you later, man. I'll talk to you later.
Hey, Jeff, you gotta come
I love
studio.
You guys. Thanks for entertaining me
Jeff,
every morning. Y'all take
you
care
in
of
studio
yourself.
In March.
Say hello to my brothers, Ernie, Kenny, and Shaq. Say hello to them. Appreciate you, bro.
I will do that. Hey, no Molly.
Yeah.
Hey, you going to heaven, girl.
Thank you. Appreciate you. I'm sure trying. Chuck, you're the best. I hope to see you. Seriously, you got to come in studio in March. Holding you to it. Stephen A.,
yes.
Control yourself. You got 30 minutes, all right? Hopefully, enough, this guy. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. The NFL schedule drops this week, and you can be there to catch all the action live and in person with Vivid Seats. Experience every touchdown, every tackle, every eye-popping play of your favorite team. And to kick it off, Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN, is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Download the app or visit vividseats.com today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Thanks so much for listening to the pod.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Tommy Fury handed Jake Paul his first boxing loss in a split decision in front of a star-studded crowd in Saudi Arabia. Paul rallied with a knockdown in the eighth and final round, but it was too little too late. He has a rematch clause in the contract and intimated after the loss he would use it. Okay, Stephen A., did the Paul Fury fight deliver for you?
No, it did not. It was relatively boring. I would tell you that both show their youth in this profession. Tommy Fury, it was his ninth fight. Jake Paul, it was his seventh. They both have potential. There is no doubt about that. I applaud Jake Paul more than most people because I appreciate the fact that he's showing boxers that you don't need to be at the mercy of promoters in order to put on an event and potentially make money for yourself. The game of boxing and the sport of boxing is hurt by two things. Number one, people are not getting the fights that they want to see, period. Or they're not getting the fights that we want to see when we want to see them.
Yeah.
So the fact that Jake Paul and Tommy Fury have been going back and forth talking smack to one another, but we got this fight, I applaud both of them for doing so. I think both of them have potential. I like Jake Paul a lot. I just think that they both showed that they're relatively inexperienced fighters, and I think we could see that with this fight. But Jake Paul lost this fight. Tommy Fury did outbox him because Jake Paul wasn't active enough. He was looking to hurt Tommy with every single punch. He was clearly looking for the knockout as opposed to just going out there and showing that he can box. Tommy Fury was more active. He never hurt Jake Paul.
Yeah.
He was throwing a lot of more punches, though, and he was more active. And because of that, he deserved to win the fight.
Yeah. Obviously, to your earlier point, we know boxing needs a unifying body like MMA. We've been saying that for a long time. But I'm curious. So after seeing this, are you more impressed with Jake Paul that he kind of hung with a real boxer? Or are you less impressed?
I'm not less impressed. I wouldn't say I'm less impressed. I would say, however, I did expect more from him because I didn't expect him to just go out there just looking for the knockout. I expected him to put his punches together and ultimately potentially hurt Tommy. He wasn't throwing nearly as many punches as he should have, in my estimation. He should have been far more active and far more aggressive, considering the fact that Tommy isn't really known to be a power puncher. He can box a little bit. He's got some power, but he isn't really known to be the puncher that we've seen Jake Paul be, albeit against basketball players and former UFC fighters. In the end, what it comes down to is that I think Jake Paul, obviously, you got the rematch clause.
Do you want to see the rematch?
I don't care to see it.
Okay.
It does not bother me. I need Jake Paul and Tommy Fury in there with real legitimate boxers moving forward and for them to put their boxing skills, Jake Paul more so, to put his boxing skills on display because I think anybody knows Jake Paul's got some power. He can put you to sleep. if he puts his boxing skills together, look out.
All right. To baseball we go now. The most dramatic moment of the new pitch clock era arrived on the first full day of spring games with the bases loaded and two outs in a tie game. Braves' Cal Conley wasn't set in the batter's box as the clock went under 8 seconds. The penalty under the new rule is an automatic strike, which struck out the batter, ending the inning, and because it's spring training, led to the game finishing in a 6-6 tie. Here's Tim Kirkjian on the flurry of rule changes.
And this might be a terrible analogy, but this would be like the NBA taking the three-point shot and putting it in, making adjustments to the lane, like no zone defense or whatever you want to do, and changing the time on the shot clock from 24 seconds to, say, 18 seconds, and doing it all in the same year. That would be an enormous adjustment, and that's what baseball is facing.
Your reaction.
It's rare, if ever, that you'll hear me lament something that the great, phenomenal Hall of Famer Tim Kirkjian has to say. Mm-hmm. Because he is the man when it comes to baseball. He's E.F. Hutton. He speaks, I listen. But in this particular situation, I don't want to hear what he had to say in that regard. And here's the reason why. It's not that he's wrong. It's that baseball, the players, have brought this on themselves. And I needed to hear Tim Kirkjian say that. The fact of the matter is that most people in baseball are traditionalist. They want to hold on to the past. I mean, God forbid if this was something about the times that transcended beyond the sport of baseball, you'd be looking at them with a raised eyebrow. Because if you look at baseball, they'd wish it was back in the 1950s, for crying out loud. Get with the times. You're losing your audience. It's getting older and older and older. The younger demographic, which everybody pursues, baseball doesn't have. Why? Because you're always the last to the party when it comes to modifications and alterations that appeases the younger generation. Baseball is very big about we govern ourselves. We do things our way. We don't need outside interference, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Major League Baseball is saying, wait a minute. We're in the business to make money here, to make sure that our sport flourishes, to make sure that a younger generation ingratiates itself with our product. And we're not doing a good job of that. That's why you got the whole pitch clock issue to begin with. Now, my boy Brandon Tierney, mm-hmm. who does radio in New York, we go back very, very long ways, used to work at ESPN. This is my brother. We're very tight. He texts me with something. He says, listen, he's bringing up the pitch clock. But one thing he wanted to bring up is, no one is bringing up the fact that besides him, less time to cheat, almost impossible to take info and digitally transfer that quickly. He brought up, those are very valid points. We were just talking.
Yeah.
We just talked because we're boys and we're friends and we were just talking about this. But I don't want to take credit from him. I want to give credit where credit is due because it's something that he said to me. And he's right. The reality of the situation is that those components that are threatening to infiltrate Major League Baseball is what it's needed. Not to mention to speed up the game and not take 3.5-4 hours.
Yeah.
You're not going to keep a younger audience. Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball may not get it right, but their intent mm-hmm. is honorable. Because what they're saying is that our audience continues to get older and older and older. And baseball is going to be dead if we continue to go on this way. It has to evolve and ingratiate itself with the younger audience. And these changes unnecessary. Okay. They brought it themselves.
Okay. Before we go, though, just quick check on you. How are you feeling about your Yankees?
Well, listen, I'm always good about my Yankees.
You feeling good about as we head into the season?
The Yankees will make the postseason again. I'm sick and tired of the postseason. They've been in the World Series since 2009. They haven't won a championship. It's 27 World Series championships. The greatest franchise in sports annals. You got to win.
Do they still run New York?
Well, I believe so, but the Mets are coming.
Just wondering.
The Mets are coming, and I like Steve Cohen. Mm-hmm. I wish he was the owner of the Yankees, personally, if I'm being totally honest. I am a Steve Cohen fan, and that's saying a lot for a New York Yankee fan to wish that I had the owner for the New York Mets. Please. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Glad we got that off our chest.
Jeff, you happy? My boy Jeff Brown.
Oh, okay, come on.
My brother-in-law Odie, they're Mets fans. Y'all happy? I said something good about
Jeff.
The Mets. You happy?
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. There's a new head man in town. Coach is Quinn Snyder now. The former Jazz coach reached a deal with the team on a five-year contract. Snyder, is supposed to make his debut tomorrow versus the Wizards. That, according to Woj, Monica back here with us. Great to have you, Stephen A. More pressure on Trey or Snyder to win in Hotlanta?
More pressure on Trey.
100%.
Two black coaches have been fired on his watch. Now, I'm not going to sit up there and point the finger at Trae Young specifically because I don't know the details. But you are the face of the franchise. You are the superstar on that franchise. You're the guy that took to the conference finals and let everybody know Luka wasn't the only dude drafted in the top five a few years ago. It was you, okay? So we understand what that means. But the reality of the situation is that let's call this what it is, okay? You got a bunch of young bloods in Atlanta living their best life. Mm-hmm. You a young millionaire in your 20s in Atlanta. I ain't talking about Trae Young. I'm talking about most of them. Mm-hmm. You got that kind in Atlanta? Let's be very, very clear. It's safe to say there's a reason to get distracted.
A few reasons.
Okay, it's one of the cities
reasons
on your list.
A few reasons, okay? So when that happens and then these kind of results come from it, inevitably people are going to look at you. Quinn Snyder's a hell of a coach. He's proven that with his years in Utah, especially with player development. Nobody's going to question Quinn Snyder's 100%. Coaching ability. They're going to look at this team, a bevy of players, but it starts with Trae Young because he's the star. He needs to embrace that.
I love what you said, Stephen A., and I actually will expand, maybe not millionaires, but a bunch of young folks doing well for themselves out to that front office. Because as I understand it, there's a little bit of confusion in Atlanta. Yes. And Trey is undoubtedly the face. And it is terrible optics. Lloyd Pierce, Nate McMillan, now gone. Both men that are respected in terms of what they've done to earn their head coaching positions. There can't be the report of the private charter and the not being a team player. And now you're potentially trying to run off a third coach. Like, Atlanta went and got Quinn Snyder. They guaranteed him his money. They're paying him well. I'm sure if for whatever reason it doesn't work, Quinn will be like, fine, just run me my check.
That's right.
He's won before.
That's right.
And he's shown that he can craft guards in particular when you think of Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell. So play with me if you want to.
They've underachieved. They've underachieved. And then you had guys to, you know, I don't know if it was John Collins or somebody talking about they weren't catered to enough emotionally and mentally. Nobody want to hear that.
Nobody want to hear that.
Right?
Mm-mm.
By the way, I don't know. I know you don't need it, but good luck hosting this just in today.
Thank you.
You're hosting
your
today?
Thing.
I'm
yes, she
for
is.
Max.
Yes, she is.
I love that.
Do your thing.
I love
don't
that.
Don't hurt him. Don't hurt him.
Who are some of your guests?
We've got Tristan Thompson in the building. Kmart's coming
okay.
up. We got to do some football stuff.
Oh, so yeah. By the way.
We haven't had Tristan in the Seaport yet, I don't
you
think.
Guys, yeah.
Props to Winston-Salem State University. The CIAA champion.
Let's go.
Rams stand up.
Let's go.
Rams stand up. Yeah.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.